Today, we'll have Erin's April May trip report. That's coming up on this episode 174 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 174. We have another trip report. We just keep bringing these to you. And this one is from Erin, who was at Disney World April 28th through May 4th with her family, including young kids. So you'll get to hear all about their not only their first Disney World trip, but their kids' first time flying. So there's lots of firsts. They did character meals and a water park. And so you can hear all about that in just a minute. I did want to share a couple of housekeeping things. One, as always, a reminder to follow on social media if you aren't already. Just search for WDW Prep School on all platforms, including the Facebook page, which we do a monthly Q&A on. We just did that on Sunday. And if you follow there, you can join in and ask questions, and we try to get answers to everyone who chimes in during that Q&A time period. I also did want to mention that the travel agency, which has been called Prep School Travel since it began, is now called Perfect Story Travel. The initials are the same, PST. And this was done to add some clarity to the fact that they operate as separate businesses. I had people that would come to me and say, I highly recommend Prep School Travel, and they weren't actually travel agency clients. They were website readers. And much more frequently, people would call it WDW Prep School Travel. And it was all very confusing and muddy. And so just to add some clarity around that, the agency name has changed to Perfect Story Travel. It is the same agency with the same owner, me, and the same team of agents. And in fact, we have hired some agents because the growth has been so fast and we need more people to handle the clients that are coming in. And we're still looking for one or two more people to join the team. I will include a link in the show notes if you are an experienced agent who is interested in that. And I think that will be it for housekeeping. As usual, I like to keep the intros brief on these trip reports because they are long. So without any further ado, here is Erin. Welcome to the podcast, Erin.
Hi.
Hi, good to have you. You and I are talking on Tuesday, April 17th, and I believe you have a trip coming up within the next week or so.
We do. We're heading out in 11 days.
So what are your trip dates then?
So we're going to be flying out April 28th and flying back May 4th.
April 28th to May 4th. How did you choose those dates?
I chose them partly because we kind of aligned this trip with a new job for my husband, and I really wanted him to have one on the books when he was accepting the new job. And I looked at a lot of different like crowd calendars and things like that. I saw on your website that you thought the first week of May was one of the really great times to visit Disney in terms of crowds and not being unbearably hot, and kind of looking to get in before my son, my oldest child, started kindergarten. So I'm also just really impatient. And once I got it in my mind that I wanted to head to Disney, I didn't think I could do the typical like plan for a year kind of thing. So we've really only been planning this for about three and a half months. And I just wanted to get there as soon as I could.
So instead of impatient, we could call it determined, persistent.
Very, I like that.
Cause I'm with you. Sometimes things get stuck in my head. I'm like, I've got to do this. It won't leave my head until it happens.
So exactly.
I do happen to love the time of year that you're traveling. It's
cool.
Beautiful. It's warm enough for those people that live in the north that want to swim. It's
right.
Warm enough for that. So it's good for a lot of things. You mentioned your husband and your oldest child. So we know those two people will be with you. Do you have another child as well?
Yes. Yep. So I also have a three-year-old daughter, Julia.
So is your son five?
Yep. He is. He's five and a half. My daughter's three. And so kind of trying to hit them up before they go to school. They're kind of at the age where lots of things are still really magical to them. And I just thought it would be a fun time, you know, for them to be able to experience things as young kids, even if they won't necessarily remember it later on. I thought it would still be really neat to kind of experience things with them and take lots of pictures and just see while they still had a lot of belief in all the cool stuff that will be happening there.
Yeah. So is this your first trip then?
It is my first trip in about 20 years. So I haven't been there since I was about 13. And so I do have some memories of that trip. They're all pretty fuzzy at this point, but it will be the first time for everybody else who's going. So my husband's never been, and we haven't taken the kids, obviously, either.
Yeah, but it's your first time planning, which is a whole animal than, than when you're a kid. And I didn't used to ask that question on these podcasts, but we do more than first-timer interviews now. So I wanted to clarify. That will help us understand where you're coming from. Where are you guys staying?
So we're staying at Pop Century for the entire trip. We were pretty sure that a value was going to be the way that we could get there fastest. And I kind of had my heart set on Art of Animation at first, just knowing that they had the Radiator Springs exterior, and we're big Cars fans. But kind of trying to stick in the value budget theme of things. The Pop Century refurbished rooms seem like they would be a really good fit for us when we kind of compare them out to the Little Mermaid rooms. So I think it'll be cool. I know we can still walk on over. My kids will really get a kick out of seeing everything there. And I still think that having a lot of the big icons and things at Pop Century are going to be exciting for them. So I'm pretty excited. I've heard such good things. And I hope it's as cool as I think it's going to be.
Yeah, I think the values are really fun for little kids. Just the brightness, just what you said. It's the it's the bright, big icons. It's fun. So And when I was a little kid, and I went, we stayed in Kissimmee, so we weren't on site. And it was a value budget motel, and I thought it was super fun. So I don't think kids value the same thing as, you know, adults.
Exactly.
So I think it'll be great. And like you said, you can walk over to Art of Animation if you want. So that'll be good. Okay. So when it came time to, so you only had a few months to plan. Did you follow the suggested planning process, or did you have to do something else given the reduced schedule?
You know, as much as I could, we were okay to do fast passes right on time. We still hit the 60-day window for that. The only thing that we did a little bit backwards is I booked dining before we actually booked the trip. Just because, like, I kind of had it in my mind. I was really excited. I kind of thought, like, oh, it's probably too late to get, like, this reservation or that reservation. And I happened to kind of just come across one day they had a Cinderella's Royal Table reservation. And I just kind of took that before we had anything planned officially, because I knew I could always cancel it if I needed to. Mm-hmm. So I actually booked dining before we did anything else, and then just really crossed my fingers that we would be able to make it work. And we were. So even though it's a little bit atypical, I couldn't, you know, I didn't book a ton of dining reservations as it was. I was able to get the few that I was most interested in, even on shorter notice. It might not have been the exact time I would have picked, but I think it still worked out okay.
Yeah. So I don't think this is as crazy as you might think it is. I think when you're under 180 days, this is what I would recommend is focusing your dining first, because that's going to be your biggest limitations under 180. So if you have things that are important, like Cinderella's Royal Table, then that is what you want to book. And like you said, you may not get the perfect time, but you can still try to get it. So what did you get besides Cinderella's Royal Table?
Yeah, so we did that on our first day, and then we really only did two others. The others that we booked are Garden Grill, had heard great things, again, from you on that. And when I went to Disney, that is one of the only things I remember. I don't believe it was Garden Grill that we were at, but I do remember Chip and Dale, and that we did have a meal with them, and just that was really fun, and that they, you know, were fun characters, and my son probably cares far more about having Mickey there. Mm-hmm. So being able to do a meal with Mickey is really, really cool for him. It sounds like an instance where the food will be pretty tasty for a character meal. Mm-hmm. And I also liked that it wasn't a buffet, because with little kids, you're up and down a lot, obviously, at a buffet, them not necessarily being able to carry and pick everything out themselves. So I liked that it seemed like it would be a little bit less stressful, maybe, way to enjoy a character dining experience, similar to Cinderella not being a buffet. So mm-hmm. I have those two character meals. And then I also have sci-fi at Hollywood Studios. And that was kind of like, I wasn't 100% sure on that. But my kids just being very into cars, I thought that would be fun. I'm a little nervous because my daughter probably will not like any of the projection stuff there. But I assume that if I just seat her the other way, that we'll be fine.
Yeah. So hopefully that will work out. A lot of people really enjoy sci-fi diner. So that'll be great. Yeah. Okay. So it will come as no surprise to you that I totally agree with your assessment of Garden Grill.
Cool. Yes. Yeah.
But we'll have to see how you like it when you get back. So we'll talk more in a couple of weeks. You mentioned, I want to start going through like how you planned your days out because you've mentioned Cinderella's Royal Table is your first day. So we know that Magic mm-hmm. Kingdom is probably your first day. How did you go about allocating the parks over the days that you have there? Like how many days at each park?
Yeah, so we're going to be doing 2 days at Magic Kingdom and then a day at each of the rest, probably a little bit shorter at Animal Kingdom and maybe heading to one of the water parks. But in terms of how we planned it out, you know, we were somewhat limited once we got, you know, just booking 3 meals at 3 parks really kind of plans that piece of it out for you. Mm-hmm. So then with the other two, I think I was just kind of looking at different crowd calendars and what was recommended. So we'll do Magic Kingdom first. Animal Kingdom, our second park day, Epcot, our third, back to Magic Kingdom, and we will end up at Hollywood Studios on our last day. So mostly just kind of looked at when I could get which dining reservations, and then, you know, from there just looked at crowd calendars to figure out where the other couple days fit in.
Okay. Now, when it comes to planning your days, like the sort of overall general plan for your days, are you doing mornings, afternoon break, back in the evenings, or do you have a different plan in mind?
So for most of my days, that's kind of my plan with a couple of exceptions. So for all of our Magic Kingdom days, I at least have a break scheduled and I'm thinking we will likely take that if my kids are just troopers or if they end up falling asleep in a stroller anyways, you know, we might adjust from there. But I don't have anything super planned in the afternoons for most of my days. On the Animal Kingdom day, I really was hoping to head to a water park. My kids just really, really love to swim, my son in particular, and I thought it might be neat. But I'm not totally married to that. If it doesn't end up happening, that's fine. And then on my Epcot day, I am pretty determined that we will stay in the park for most of the day, largely because I have a friend who's visiting us, a friend who now lives down in Florida, and I'd like to just try really hard to kind of power through it. My husband and I have already talked that if my daughter in particular, you know, seems like she really would value a break, you know, those two can always head back to the resort. Anyways, I think my son would probably be okay for one slightly longer day. I don't think we'll close down the park that day by any means, but I'd rather kind of do it in one block, even if it means we end up, you know, home for the night a little bit earlier.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to do it. So instead of being like 4 or 5 hours in the park, 4 or 5 hours away, you can just do one block and then go back after dinner or whatever it is. Right. So I think that's a good alternative solution. I think with kids in your age range, playing the fast passes is probably the hardest part. I mean, a lot of people stress out about fast passes, but I think with kids your age, it's especially difficult because they're right on the edge, particularly 5-year-old, I think, right on the edge of some height requirements. You don't really necessarily know how they're going to react to rides. So how did you do that? And were you able to get the fast passes that you wanted?
Yeah. So I did get all of the fast passes I wanted initially. I kind of changed a few out afterwards, but you're right. Kind of figuring out what would be fun for like the entire family. And then maybe trying a few things with my son was definitely something that I considered. We recently went to a water park with him. And while I realized like a slide is nothing like a roller coaster, I kind of made him go on one water ride with a track on it to kind of get a feel for, you know, how much he liked it, how scary he thought it was. And he definitely thought it was scary. So it kind of made me feel okay about not having any roller coasters for our fast passes, with the exception of Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. We really, you know, kind of mostly prioritized family rides and then a few different character fast passes. There were some, you know, must do character fast passes that I wouldn't have wanted to wait in line for, like Talking Mickey, Tinkerbell, and then I think we've got one other one. Like when my son and I do Mind Train, my daughter's got one for Ariel. So we kind of tried to keep it mostly family friendly with a few character experiences in there. And I felt pretty good about what we got. I think, you know, if my son surprises me and he ends up liking, you know, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train a lot, maybe we'll try for a later day fast pass for something like Big Thunder Mountain. But I didn't want to use it on that until I had a little bit better sense how he'd do on one of Calmer roller coasters.
Yeah, I think that makes absolute sense. And we'll have to find out how that worked for you when you get back.
Yeah.
So let's see. So you did mention you're focusing mostly on family-friendly stuff. So does that mean that your husband and you will not be trying to do those bigger rides on this trip? Or you will?
Yeah. We probably won't at all. He's not a roller coaster person at all. So even if someone's going with my son, it'll probably be me. And with my son still being on the younger side, I think he'll still get a lot of enjoyment out of, you know, a lot of the smaller rides and just the character stuff. So we don't have any plans to try to make sure we both hit any of the big stuff. I'll just kind of be willing to do as much as my son is willing to do on that side of things.
So that does that mean that you think you'll probably go back when they are bigger and you can do those things together?
I hope so. It's definitely, you know, it's probably not something that's in the budget for like a yearly or every other year trip. But I definitely like to go when they are older. So I don't think this will be once in a lifetime, but it's probably once while they're young kids kind of a trip.
Right. Once per phase, once per age range. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I really like 8-year-olds for like they kind of do everything. They tend to want to do the bigger rides, but they're also still young that they, you know, are into the characters. It's kind of a perfect age, I think.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
Okay, so a few questions. You mentioned a stroller. So are you bringing your own, renting? How did you do that?
We are renting, and I don't remember which company, but we are renting a double stroller that'll be dropped off at the resort for us. So I think my son is kind of on that. He's still just 5.5, and I think he'd do okay for a while without one, but that I think all day, you know, even if we take a break, might be a bit of a toughie for him. So we'll try it and I think it'll be a good thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. Unless your 5-year-old can walk a half marathon every day,
right.
A stroller is probably a good choice for all of your sake. So and are you flying or driving?
We are flying. Yep. So we'll leave Detroit and both direct flights, which we're pretty thankful for.
Yes. And is this their first flight or no?
Yeah, it is. It's their first flight. So a little nervous, but I think it's a short enough flight that I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine. But I think if it's their first flight, that adds to the adventure. Like
that part
is a novelty. When I was little and flew for the first time, I remembered the tram at the Orlando airport. That was one of my takeaways. It wasn't the Disney World stuff. It was the tram at the airport because that was all new. Unfortunately, that wasn't what my parents wanted me to remember, but that.
Sure. No, I could totally see that. No, they're both pretty excited about the airplane aspect of it. So
yeah. So
hopefully the experience matches their excitement level.
Yeah. The all new stuff starts right from the airport.
Totally.
So then are you taking Magical Express or another way to get from the airport?
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have a car or anything like that. We're going to use the Magical Express to get there and then really just plan to rely on Disney transportation for the entire trip. So I'm excited about that. It sounds like Pop has a pretty good bus option. And if we really need to one day, I'm not opposed to taking a minivan. I think that's an option at Pop from what I understand.
It is. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we'll do it, you know, more than maybe once just because of the expense. But it's nice to know that we've got it there in a pinch if we do end up needing it once or twice maybe.
Yeah, and I'm leaving today to go to Pop Century, and
cool.
I have stayed there many times, and I've stayed at all the resorts except for one or two. But I think Pop Century has one of the best transportations on site, even better than some of the deluxes. So,
good.
I'm hoping this trip I can come back and say the same thing. But yeah, I think you're right. Cool. Those direct buses are hard to beat.
Sure.
What about the dining plan? Are you using that?
We are not, and I kept really trying to make a case to make it work. Like, I kept looking at the numbers and trying to make it work, for us. But, you know, we're not, I love food, but I wouldn't say I'm a big eater. And so for that reason, it just didn't seem like it would make a ton of sense for us. I didn't love the idea of using two of my credits on Cinderella's Royal Table to start. And then if I didn't, it would still be an out-of-pocket expense. I just couldn't quite find a way to make it work where I didn't feel like we'd end up wasting a lot of food that we had already paid a lot of money for. Mm-hmm. So, I think that at least having a 3-table service booked is good. We might, you know, if we're able to get a walk up, we might do another, but I like kind of with little kids who are slightly unpredictable, especially in the case of my daughter, not being tied down to it. So I've spent a lot of time researching quick service menus, just so that when we are in a park, we have a good idea of what some of our options are and where they are. I could even see us splitting a few meals. So it seems like there are a lot of really nice quick service options, and I think that will probably work for my kids the best. And just, I hate to waste food, so I think it'll work out nicely. We do like to snack a lot. I think we'll end up doing a fair amount of that. I think we'll likely get a popcorn bucket. And we're also going to have a grocery order delivered at the hotel. So we'll probably do breakfast either on the go or in the hotel room.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like that you made the right decision for your family then.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah, I think so, based on what you just said. And then what about getting the memory maker?
We did do the memory maker. I'm really excited about that. I think it'll be a cool thing. We have lots of pictures of the kids or lots of like selfies with one of us and one kid or both kids, but not a ton as a family. So I think that'll be cool. I'm excited to not have to worry about capturing like every single character interaction myself and just be able to kind of enjoy it. And I'm also excited, having a friend there for one day. I think that'll be kind of fun. She's a really fun person, and I think we'll do some goofy stuff, having her there. So I'm really excited about that. It seems like it's a good value. To have it there as an option for your entire trip. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I think so. Especially since you mentioned meeting characters as one of the priorities. Yeah. So that'll be good photo ops for that.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you have planned that we haven't talked about?
I don't think so. I mean, it's going to be, I think, it's a lot of pretty straightforward, little kid stuff. We don't have any kind of extras planned. The day that I'm really most uncertain about is just our arrival day. I think we'll likely get to our hotel around like 1 or 2 o'clock. We probably won't do anything too crazy that day. We'll likely just head over to Art of Animation and kind of check that out and then maybe do a little swimming. I don't have any concrete plans to visit Disney Springs, but I think if we do go that it's likely that would be, one of the times that we would head on over there. So, that first day is a little bit up in the air. But we don't have anything else in terms of like tours or anything along those lines planned.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you have plenty packed into your trip days. If you do get to go back, there's always next time to add, unique things every trip. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, your plan sounds good to me, and I can't wait to hear how it goes.
Thanks, Shannon.
Thanks, Erin. Welcome back from your trip, Erin.
Thanks.
So you and I are talking on May 9th, and you have been back since May 4th.
Yep.
All right. So as you told us beforehand, your trip dates were April 28th through May 4th. So what did you think about that time of year, like weather and crowd-wise?
I thought it was great. I would definitely go back that same time of year or recommend others to go. Weather-wise, it was really nice. We've had a long winter here in the Midwest, so it was pretty chilly even the week before we left. So it was a welcome surprise to be somewhere where you actually felt hot on occasion, but it wasn't so toasty that we were miserable by any means. Usually we were able to find shade, and it was good swimming weather, which was really fun for the kids. So I would say weather-wise, really great. Crowd-wise, I don't have anything to compare it to, but we really very rarely waited in a line for more than 15 minutes or so. And in the cases we did, I think had we planned a little differently, or had things just gone a little bit differently, we could have avoided it. So crowd-wise, again, not having anything to compare it to, it was still much better than what I expected, particularly as the week went on. Sunday was definitely the day that seemed the busiest, which made sense to me. So I thought it was a really nice time of year to be there.
Okay, good. And we'll get into the day-to-day to see how things went, but I'm glad that overall you really liked it.
Yeah.
You mentioned that this was going to be a first trip, and I think first time flying, right? for your kid? Yeah,
first
kids?
Time for the kids.
All right, yeah. So let's start there. How did things go from the airport?
Yeah, so for the way out was a lot easier than coming back. Everyone was really excited, and I think that worked to our advantage. Had a really smooth flight. You know, the kids just, you know, had a lot of questions along the way, my son in particular. But it went really well. Everyone on the flight was really nice, and they did a great job. My daughter fell asleep, which was helpful with an early morning departure. But that went really, really well. The return flight was a really windy day here in the Detroit area. And so, you know, we felt every bit of that in the air. And that was maybe one of my worst flights ever. And I did used to travel a lot for work. So that was a little scary. My son looked at me and said, "This is like the Barnstormer," because it felt really kind of a little scary for him. But they did really well, I think, considering. So, you know, they didn't necessarily want to leave Disney World. So it wasn't, you know, they weren't quite as excited about hopping back on a plane. And then it was a rough ride. But all in all, I think they did pretty well.
Good. And then you took Magical Express to get from the airport to your hotel. So how was that trip?
Yeah, it went well. No issues there. You know, only good things to say there. And I would definitely not hesitate to do that again and just rely on Disney transportation. It worked out really well, and not having to worry about finding or going to a car rental or pick up our bags or anything like that was just really helpful, because we were traveling with a car seat. And so to have to do like a car seat plus extra luggage, I think would have been a big pain to travel with. So it was really nice that they have that option for you to just, you know, get that sent to the hotel later. I really like that piece especially.
So as we're talking, a different podcast just went up for another trip report, and the experience on Magical Express was very different. And so I think it's helpful to hear different perspectives. That's why it's kind of nice to have multiples, because everyone has different experiences.
And sure.
You've presented a good reason to use Magical Express, and you know, there's multiple perspectives here. So
sure. I mean, we waited, you know, maybe half an hour for it at the most, I think, when we got there, but you know, the actual ride itself was fine. And the wait, you know, I think we might have just hit the timing right and everything like that. So both ways it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, you hit the timing right, which is always good. And also you presented the benefits of them transporting your luggage. And with little kids, that is a huge perk, because it is hard to juggle kids and bags at the same time.
Right. Yeah, I could see if it was just my husband and myself, or, you know, maybe going a different route. But, you know, we weren't planning to go anywhere else, so it made a lot of sense.
Yeah, totally understand that. Now, your hotel was Pop Century.
We loved it.
Okay, you loved Pop Century. Do you know if you were in a new room?
We were, definitely. Yep. We were in a new room in the 80s section. I had originally requested like 60s or 70s. I don't know why, but I thought the 60s would be cool. But I think, you know, being so close to the pool, my guess is that was hard to get. And for whatever reason, we didn't get 70s, but we loved, you know, where we ended up. So I'm glad I didn't ask them, you know, if they had any others left. I love the room itself. I thought that the refurbished rooms were just really, really nice. The kids liked the bed folded down. It was super nice with little kids to have a table for them to eat at, because one of them in particular is a really messy eater. So it was nice that we weren't eating on a bed. I liked the whole bathroom setup. I just really liked everything about the room itself. I liked the location of the 80s, because we were really close to the bus stop. And there were two mornings where we kind of realized, either like once we got to the bus stop or part way there, that we had forgotten something in our room. And we were able to just run back really, really fast. So I think that location and the resort, I'm sure it has a lot of rooms, but it doesn't feel so, so huge. So it wasn't a bad walk by any means. And I just really liked everything about the room and where we were, and really everything about the resort as a whole, the food court, the pools. We really, really had a nice impression of it, and I would definitely go back.
Good. I'm glad about that. I think it's a good tip to recommend the 80s section. I assume, were you in a standard room as opposed to preferred?
We were.
Yep. Okay, so standard room, 80s has standard rooms, but as you said, the bus stops are right there, and that's a huge benefit, because that's, you end up walking back and forth to there more than the food court usually, depending on your
totally.
Eating, but depending on your eating habits, but
yeah,
it's, even if you have to go to the food court, it's not too bad.
Right.
All right. So we're off to a good start.
Yeah.
It was a good trip.
Good. So let's get started on some park time, which sure. I don't have everything written down, but I think you started with Magic Kingdom.
You're right. Yep. We did. So my first day there was Magic Kingdom, just like you said. My big anxiety before the trip was that we don't really do mornings very well. I even had a bad dream that we missed, you know, being there early and we wasted our whole day. But we actually managed to get to every park before it officially opened. We weren't there at Rope Drop any day, but we were there before it officially opened, which I think for us worked out just fine. So we caught the welcome show right away, which was really, you know, fun for our little kids to see so many characters right away. We liked that a lot. We then from there did a quick princess meet with Rapunzel and Tiana. And you'll hear, and I'll spare you every single character we met, but it was a very character heavy trip for the kids. Which was kind of funny because they loved meeting them, but they didn't necessarily like know what to do once they met a character. Like the character would talk to them and they'd kind of smile for a picture, but they didn't really, it took them a while to understand, like, you can actually talk to them. But despite that, and despite being maybe a little bit shy around them, they loved meeting different characters. My daughter particularly liked meeting a lot of the princesses and Minnie, and my son just kind of got a kick out of everybody. So we started there, and, you know, they're a little bit stiff, but they enjoyed it, and I think, you know, it kind of got better from there character-wise. So we did that early on. Then we went to the Barnstormer, and that was kind of like our test to see, you know, if this was going to be something my son in particular would want to do more roller coasters. And my daughter actually decided to hop on it with us too. So we all rode that. And we after that ride realized we probably would not be doing any more roller coasters. So my daughter kind of just moaned like, no, the entire time. And then my son's response was just not good. Like, not good. Like he was just not up for trying anymore after that, even though I know it's a pretty mild ride. It just for whatever reason, he did not want to ride any more fast rides after that. So it was okay. We were able to adjust, and I'm glad that we did that early on before something longer or potentially more traumatic. So, you know, those are the two things we did before we went to Cinderella's Royal Table.
Okay. So I want to talk about a couple things. One, I think it's really good that you tested. I've said this many times. I think the hardest part about taking a trip with little ones is you don't know what they're going to be into, because some five-year-olds ride roller coasters. Some do not. My daughter did not ride one until she was 18. And, you know, things are very different depending on your child. So it's good to kind of feel it out, which I know is very hard when you have to book fast passes 2 months ahead of time.
Right.
But that's very helpful. You mentioned Rope Drop earlier, and I just want to clarify, Rope Drop, when we use it loosely, is just park opening, which you were
Got it.
You were there for park opening. You did it. Okay. I think what you were saying was you weren't there when they opened the gates, but they opened the gates like an hour beforehand at Magic Kingdom. So
got it. Okay.
You don't need to be there that early, but if you were there by the time the welcome show started, you were definitely on time.
Oh, cool. You did better than I realized then.
Yeah, you did it. So, cool. So was Cinderella's Royal Table your lunch that day then?
It was actually, it was a breakfast, a late breakfast. That was kind of just what was available when I went. It was a 9:50. And so we kind of treated it more like brunch. We didn't eat like a lunch after, but it was definitely enough to tide us over until an afternoon snack. So the timing also kind of worked well. We booked our fast passes after that.
How did it go?
It went really well. We really enjoyed it. You know, I think just the being in the castle part was pretty neat for all of us. They really liked that they each got a sword or a wand and the wishing star. And we had some nice interactions with the princesses. A couple in particular were just really sweet. It went really well. Quick interactions with the princesses. Not as much as, you know, I think we got in some of the other, meet and greets that we went to. Just when we would wait in line, it seemed like we maybe got a little bit more time with them. But I think, you know, for not being a particularly long meal, we had, you know, plenty of time with them, got some really cute pictures. The kids really loved the Mickey waffles, and they kind of knew that was coming, so they were really excited about that. The meals I thought were, you know, they were fine. We definitely did more for the princess aspect and just the ability to eat inside the castle than the food itself. But it was all fine. I had read kind of mixed reviews and I can kind of see it, but we didn't have anything that was bad. It just, you know, of the table service meals, it was the one where I thought, you know, I thought the food at the other table service meals that we had booked were a little bit better. But it was also only the breakfast that we did in terms of a table service. So don't have much to compare it to. But overall, it was a really positive experience. I think for us, it's probably just something that we will only do once in a lifetime, just because we probably won't go back for a few more years. But I'm really glad that we did it, and I would definitely recommend it. My daughter especially thought it was really cool.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that's so hard to judge if you're given advice. Yeah. Because it's like, well, other places have better food, but they're not the castle.
Right,
and you know, your kids are only little once, and so, you know, as much as you can afford and you have time for, it's sure. Nice to be able to fit that in.
Yeah, no regrets about doing it at all. I'm glad that we did it.
Good. You had reasonable expectations for that, that meal.
Yeah.
So after your brunch in the castle, what were some highlights of the rest of your Magic Kingdom day?
Yeah. So after that, we did a few rides and a few like show type things. I'm trying to think. Mickey's PhilharMagic was when we kind of realized that my son really liked all things 3D. And my daughter really hated all things 3D. They never experienced anything like that before. And my daughter was just kind of terrified by it. But my son thought it was just amazing. So he really liked that. We did some more character meets. We had Aladdin and Jasmine and Talking Mickey. We did Jungle Cruise, which was definitely like over their head. I thought it was a riot. But they, you know, they didn't necessarily appreciate much about it. But it was fine. I enjoyed it. And it was nice to have something that kind of spoke more to adults, I thought. And then the kind of one of the weirder things is we went to get on Peter Pan's flight, which we had fast passes for, and we'd all gone through. And then right when we got up there, my daughter just like really kind of had a freak out, decided she didn't want to do it. And we didn't force it then. We definitely decided later on, like, there are some rides you will just go on. But for the first one, we didn't make her go on. My husband, stayed back with her then, and I went with my son that day. My husband went with him a different day, which is why they did end up waiting in line a little bit more. But we loved the Peter Pan's flight. That was definitely a highlight for the three of us that made it on at some point that week. but yeah, we had a really good time. You know, we kind of had to learn how to deal with my daughter, like, not wanting to go on a lot of rides before or after that point. But it really just kind of, it caught us off guard because she'd been on board right up until you got on it. And so in that moment we said, okay, one of us will just hang on to her. And then we kind of figured out the plan for the rest of the week as it went, you know, as it went by. But in that moment, one of us just decided we'd go with my son and the other would hang out. And then as the week went by, we did kind of drag her on a few really easy rides, like The Land or It's a Small World. And she ended up loving every one that we dragged her onto. We didn't make her do anything scary or fast or anything like that, but anything that we knew was a really calm, family-friendly ride, we just kind of said we're pretty sure you can handle this, and she absolutely loved every ride that we kind of dragged her on. So
yeah, so the ones that are safe, fine. The ones that are safe bets, it makes sense to apply a little gentle pressure.
Exactly. Yeah, and it wasn't like she wasn't too crazy about it. So I don't think it didn't like ruin the experience for anybody nearby, or we might've had to reevaluate, but she was definitely grumpy getting on a few of them.
So you mentioned before that you might do some midday breaks. Did you do that on this day or during your trip?
Yeah. On the first day we did it. And then we did kind of fail at doing it for most of the other days. My daughter would end up taking a nap in the stroller before we'd get the chance to leave a lot of the other days. And one day we did do half Animal Kingdom, half water park, and that also worked out well. But then the three remaining park days, you know, everything just took a little bit longer than we thought it would. And then kind of by the time we'd get through, she would just usually be conked out in the stroller. And so we'd kind of try to figure out what to do while she was sleeping. And we stayed there and usually ended up just heading home for the night around dinner time. So not exactly what I was hoping. I did like the 2 days where we either came home or went to the water park instead. But it just kind of worked out that way, and it was fine. So I would have loved to have gone back to the resort those other days and maybe stayed out a little bit later. But we just we didn't do a great job at keeping that plan together, and we just made it work the best we could.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, either way work can work, and sometimes you don't know until you're there. But right. I think that, especially with little ones, that it makes more sense to focus your touring plans on the morning.
Sure.
And then in the afternoon, you may or may not take naps. At night, you may or may not be in the parks. Like, you just don't really sure. know. So if your mornings are relatively planned, then everything else is kind of improv.
Right. Yeah, that definitely helped. And I was a little bit too kind of married to the plan on the first day. And my husband kind of told me to chill out a little bit. And I think, you know, after the Cinderella's Royal Table, like, and I was able to just sit back and enjoy it a little bit more, I realized, okay, we can cross a few things off this list that we do not absolutely have to do. Let's focus on the highlights, and anything else is a bonus. And that worked out really well, just not being quite so uptight about how things worked, because I didn't really plan in time to, like, park our strollers or get a snack or go to the, you know, I just didn't know how much time that would all take. And it definitely, you know, we weren't sprinting to each, you know, attraction or anything by any means.
Yeah, that all does take a lot of time. And that's one reason that I have learned to, like, group the touring plans by hour, so that sure. if you have little yeah. ones that are taking extra time, or if you have to park a stroller, you don't feel like,
right.
oh my gosh, I'm behind schedule. It's more like right. loosely, these are the things you should plan on doing in the first hour, second hour.
Yeah.
And
that makes a lot more sense.
I recall distinctly having those obstacles, and it's very stressful when you're the tour guide. It's your first time yes. there. You're trying to make sure your kids have a good time. You've spent a lot of money. Like, there's just so much pressure.
Absolutely.
On this yeah. trip.
Yeah, okay. It loosened up a little after that day, and then I think it went a little bit better. But yeah. at first, it was still fun overall.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, you just don't know until you're there. So you have right. to figure a lot of things out. And even the best plans sometimes have to change depending on the circumstances.
Right.
Okay, so the next day, did you do Animal Kingdom?
Yeah, we had Animal Kingdom in the morning, ate lunch, and then went to Blizzard Beach. And I loved Animal Kingdom. I think I was the person in my family who liked it the most. I think it might have been my favorite park potentially, but we didn't spend enough time there for me to really know. But the time that we did spend there was just awesome. I just thought it was the one park I had never, ever been to. So I had, you know, nothing to go off of. But I just loved everything from the music to the feel. We really were only in Pandora and in parts of the Africa section. But what I saw, I just loved. So we really just did the three fast passes that I had, ate lunch, and then left. So the first fast pass I had was for Festival of the Lion King, and I'm a big Lion King fan. My kids haven't seen the whole movie, but it really didn't matter at all. But I was just super impressed. I thought that was the best show that we saw the entire time that we were there, and I think we saw a lot of good shows, but I just really, really loved that. I thought they just did such a fantastic mm-hmm. job with it. My daughter really loved it. My son, he's a little less expressive, but I think he was interested in it too. And I just thought it was really, really cool. So we did that. Then we went over to Pandora and thought that area was just beautiful. I thought, like, with the waterfalls and all of the different flowers and the way that they had it built up was just really, really neat to just walk around. And everyone around me just kind of seemed to be pretty amazed by it, too. But yeah, I thought that area and the way that they did it was just gorgeous. And we had a fast pass for the Navi River Journey, which we ended up really liking. I know it would have been really cool if we got Flight of Passage fast passes, but I felt like there were too many wild cards there between my kids. I don't think my daughter would have been tall enough, but, you know, I just didn't really know, you know, how to do a short day at Animal Kingdom. And so we opted for the River Journey, and I thought it was really nice. We liked it a lot. After that, we went over to Setuli Canteen. We did mobile ordering, and that worked out really well. We did that a lot on the trip and found that it was just a nice time saver. So we ate there and really, really liked that experience as well.
Good. So it sounds like you made the most of your time in the park.
I think so.
And it just, for some reason, it just occurred to me when you were talking about mobile ordering that it's probably with a whole family easier for you to all hover around yes. a phone
yeah.
and figure out what you want than it is to be in line and trying to
right.
all decide
totally,
you know, as a person is waiting for you to
Yes.
Place your order. You can do it on your own time, your own schedule.
Yeah. We like to, I mean, sometimes we were like literally just steps away as we were ordering and then we'd press like, I'm here, make my order. But we found it still saved us a lot of time. So that was really nice. We did the blueberry cheesecake, which was kind of fun. It was like a little rich for my taste, but like it just looked so cool and it was fun to try everything. And we had a nice experience there overall. It was just kind of a neat and a little bit different from some of the other places that we ate. So we really enjoyed that. And then, oh, go ahead.
So I was just curious about the thought process that went into doing a half a day there with Blizzard Beach. Is like, because yeah. a lot of people don't do the water parks, right. even though they're great if you like water parks. But yeah. I was just curious about that. Like, are your kids really into
they are.
The water?
Yep, they are. And I just kind of figured that they would want to do it at some point. And because of the way that the busing works out, that's why I chose to do it on the same day.
Okay, so that is very smart. And I don't think a lot of people understand that because Blizzard Beach and Typhoon Lagoon transportation used to be direct from the resorts, and now they're not. So if you're going to Blizzard Beach, you have to go through Animal Kingdom anyway.
Right.
So I think what you're saying is you left Animal Kingdom and just went over to the Blizzard Beach bus stop.
Right, exactly. Right.
So that saves a lot of time on transportation getting there. You do have to reverse it at the end of the day, but so if you're going to Typhoon Lagoon, that one leaves from Disney Springs. So if you wanted to do a half day Disney Springs compared with Typhoon Lagoon, you could have the same perks of saving a little bus time. So that's very smart. So tell us how you liked Blizzard Beach then.
We really liked it a lot. I thought it was really sweet. They had a nice kind of toddler area that my kids spent quite a bit of time at. My son kind of realized like he had all the water slides there kind of down, and they were, I think they were good for him to kind of start there after he'd been a little bit nervous on some of the roller coaster stuff. He was maybe a little bit hesitant, but he tried some of those, really liked them. And then we kind of moved to the preteen area, and some of the bigger water slides that weren't by any means scary, but just bigger. And for him looked a little bit cooler and felt a little bit more grown up. And my daughter was able to just kind of swim in the nearby pool there. So we really liked, you know, those two things. We spent some time in the wave pool, and then they also just really loved the lazy river there. It goes around the whole park. It just, I don't know how long we were in it, but it felt like forever. Like it felt like a good hour that it took us to go around the entire park, and they got a big kick out of it. And the theming was just so cute, I thought, with the snow and the snowmen and everything like that, with the ski lift. Taking people up to the bigger water slides. So just thought it was really cute and a way for us to do something that was just a little bit less structured. So, our pool at Pop Century is really nice, but it didn't, you know, it doesn't have any of the slides or things like some of the bigger, moderates or values do. So it was a nice way for them to do something, you know, a little bit different, but still spend time in the pool.
So you arrived after lunch, right?
Right. So, and I should have said we also fit in the safari after lunch. So after the safari is really when we made it over. But yes.
But how did you? What did you think of that? The crowds and your ability to sort of tour the park
of Blizzard Beach.
Yeah.
I thought it was, you know, it wasn't crowded at all. Like we had no problem finding beach chairs or, you know, waiting in line for anything. Like you said, I kind of got the sense that, you know, the vast majority of people didn't seem to go to the water parks. But I think it kind of worked to our advantage there. So, it definitely wasn't too crowded at all. I mean, it could have been two or three times as crowded and it still wouldn't have felt too busy in my opinion.
Yeah, I think the parks are definitely a lot busier in the summer. I mean, depending on the time of year, have to plan a little bit more. But the fact that you went and it wasn't busy, that's nice. You don't have to worry about lines and you can kind of do whatever you want.
Yeah. I mean, and we're from the Midwest, so like, you know, anything above 70 feels warm to us. But I can understand how it might not have felt like super hot for other people, or that might not have been, you know, how they really wanted to spend their time. But for little kids who, you know, every day asked, like, can we go to the pool again? You know, halfway through the day, it was a fun thing for us. I can see maybe not for other people who are a little bit more interested in making sure they hit, you know, more rides.
Yeah, but one of the reasons I really like end of April, early May for travel is that it's usually hot enough to swim for people who really want to swim. Because if you go in January, there's a good chance it won't be. So,
That makes total sense.
Your chances were good, but a lot of people were not taking advantage of it. So that worked.
Right.
That worked out for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
Okay, so that's a good day. That sounds like a fun day.
After that, I'll just mention quickly that we ate pizza at our hotel, which we ended up doing a couple of times, which was kind of a nice, like, cheaper meal for us. We thought it tasted fine. We did that two times, and then we walked over to the Art of Animation's play area, and the Cars area in particular was a big thing for my kids. So we spent the evening kind of doing those two things once we got back.
Those are cute ideas. So did you pick up pizza in the food court, or did you have it delivered?
I think. I'm trying to remember. I'm pretty sure my husband actually went and picked it up.
That is one of the perks of a value resort. I really think people with little ones who need that flexibility to just grab things will really benefit from a food court, and you don't have as easy access to that stuff as some of the like deluxe resorts. So
sure. Got it. Okay.
That's really nice. Art of Animation is really cute, isn't it?
Yes, it was really cute. And I had kind of really gone back and forth about where we would stay because we are big, big Cars fans. Both of my kids, my son and my daughter, both love it. So I was a little bit heartbroken not to do it, but the savings was just so great that it made sense for us to do Pop Century and use that money elsewhere. But I don't feel like we missed out too much since we were so close and we really spent, whole evening, at least a couple hours there. My kids just thought it was awesome, but they didn't notice that it was, that they didn't stay there or that it wasn't an option. They really, really liked that. And that Nemo playground, we even went back one other day when they just needed to blow off some steam, that kind of little play area with the slides. Mm-hmm. They really liked it. And it was such a quick walk that it was fun to go there.
Yeah, it's a big price jump to go over to one of the suites at Art of Animation. And almost like a deluxe, in terms of the pricing. But very cute.
Absolutely. It was really cute. I was glad that we were close enough to walk without having to pay.
Yeah, exactly.
See those things.
You got to enjoy it without that price increase.
Exactly.
Okay. So did you end up going to Epcot the next day?
We did. Yeah. We really liked our Epcot day. It was a lot of fun. I think I mentioned earlier that I had a friend join us for that day. And that it was a really neat thing for me to see a friend that I hadn't seen in such a long time. I think we were all, maybe on better behavior, having a friend there after we'd been tired. So that helped. And it also allowed us to kind of split up a couple of times in a way that worked to our advantage. So we liked that day. It was a pretty character heavy day in a few ways. We kind of started off by meeting Mickey, Minnie, and Goofy, even though we were going to have lunch with Mickey later. But we did that. We did some of the Nemo stuff with Turtle Talk with Crush and visiting Seabase and then the Nemo ride. We did Journey into Imagination, which I kind of joke was like about 10 minutes. We'll never get back. but luckily we walked right on it. And I have a good friend who like loved that ride. So I told her I would check it out. That was maybe one of the only misses, but I can laugh about it. It wasn't it wasn't so horrible, but I'm glad that we didn't have to wait in a long, long line. Mm-hmm. We did Living with the Land, which I was kind of surprised, once we dragged, that was where the one my daughter really did not want to go on for some reason. We were in line. I think she was just getting hungry. But we did, all hop on Living with the Land, and the kids really thought it was very cool, which kind of surprised me a little bit, but we liked that a lot. And then we went up to Garden Grill and had an awesome meal there.
All right. I'm excited to hear about that.
Yeah. It was really fun. One, I thought that the food was just really, really tasty. And since we did do mostly quick service, it was nice to do a table service that I thought was just done so well. We didn't end up needing to eat anything more than what they gave us, but it was, really generous portions. Everything that I ate, I liked. So the meal itself was very good. And then it was kind of fun that we got to see all of the characters more than once because, the first time my kids were very insistent on, like, they really just cared about getting that picture to start. But then having them come around again a second time kind of let them be a little bit more into just talking with them or doing something silly. Dale saw that my son had carried his sword from Cinderella's royal table, and he kind of did like a little knighting ceremony with him that my son still talks about. And it, so, you know, it was just really fun. They did a really nice job kind of making some shy kids feel really, you know, well included there. So I appreciated that.
And was that a late breakfast or was that lunch?
It was a later lunch. Okay. But it ended up working out okay. And my kids also really liked the rotating aspect of it. So they thought that was cool and got up a few different times, to see where we were at, in the building. And, overall I would definitely really recommend it. I can't think of anything I didn't like about it at all.
Good. I'm always happy to hear that.
Definitely liked it.
Good. And you got lots of things done at Epcot before that. So yeah. How did your post Garden Grill day, what were some highlights of the rest of your Epcot time?
So some other highlights, I'm looking at everything, and almost everything we did after that, I felt like was a really, really cool. I had heard that Joy and Sadness were a really neat, character interaction. So we, waited to meet them, and that was just a really, really, cool one. I thought they did an awesome job. Again, my kids are pretty shy, but they love meeting characters at the same time. And Sadness kind of saw that we had bought a souvenir earlier that day, and she kind of was a pack of toys. And she kind of pulled each toy out one by one and did like a little, like if it was Mr. Incredible, she'd kind of flex her muscles, or if it was Nemo, she'd make him swim. And so that was just really fun to see her find a way to make it neat for them. Mm-hmm. I really, really liked meeting them. And I would say, you know, it's not a super long line. I would definitely, you know, recommend that for anyone whose kids have seen the movie. So we really liked that. I should say my one hit or kind of miss. We did the Frozen. I had a fast pass for Frozen and I really liked it. But it was another instance where my daughter really just decided she did not want to do it. And I had said, like, you know, I haven't been on it, but it seems like there's a little hill. I don't think it's going to be crazy, but she opted out and kind of took a nap at some point in this, you know, Frozen time. But, so we did the rider switch for Frozen. So, my friend, and my son and I all went on, Frozen, and he did okay with it the first time. And then he said he would ride it with my husband, but the second time he just really, really hated it. I think he got pretty wet. And I think he was kind of like, I am done. So we just realized like we weren't going to push him on really anything. Cause I thought it was so mild, but he just, for whatever reason, that second time he just had a really, I don't know if it's cause he got too wet or what, but he really did not like that. So I wasn't sure what to do after that ride, about Soaring, because I was able to get fourth fast passes for that. So what we decided to do is that my friend and I went on it first, and I really, really loved it. I thought it was really fun, and that they would be able to handle it. So after we rode it, I was able to get them fast passes for Soaring, and they did, my husband and my son ride it and loved it. So, I was really glad that we were able to find something that was a little bit cooler, that he still liked. So he, you know, was brave to try it and ended up paying off in that instance.
Yeah. It's just random, isn't it?
Yeah. I was like, this is not a big ride, but for him, it felt scary, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. You just never know how those sensations are going to hit him.
Right. So go figure.
Well, okay. So did you end up staying in the park all day then for Epcot?
Yeah. So that was our longest park day. We kind of closed it off with Spaceship Earth, and that was another one that my daughter just didn't want to do. So we kind of just took turns, you know, taking turns, make the day, you know, make it take a little bit longer to get everything you want to get done. We also went back and forth, and I almost hesitate to mention this cause it was like my one like kind of negative thing about the trip. But we went back and forth to try to meet Belle like three different times. Like whenever we'd switch off, someone would run over and try to meet Belle in France. And, once my husband went over while my girlfriend and I were doing, Soaring, and, Belle, like she had just, you know, she'd reached capacity, but he didn't realize it when they got in the line, or somehow the message didn't make it to them. So they waited in line for a while. And then they said, oh, you'll have to come back. So my friend and I went back two separate times, but the line was already at capacity both of those times. So we walked back and forth to France a lot from like having been in Future World. So there was a lot of time spent kind of trying to track her down there, without it working out too well. So I would just say, if anyone really wants to meet Belle, at Epcot specifically, to really pay attention to those times and be there right when they start, because we tried our best, but between switching kids off and other rides and whatever, we just kind of kept missing her, and it was fine. We did a Chant of Tales with Belle the next day, so they got at least a quick picture and got to participate. But I just wish I had planned that differently, because I could have done different things with that time.
Yeah,
or just done a better job getting there, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, and it's true of most of the characters that have specific times that they meet. And this happens at all the parks. And I was with a character person on my last trip. And I don't stop for characters as much, but being with someone who does, it is enlightening, because she kept saying, oh, they're so-and-so. And I'd say, yeah, but the line's full. And then the next time we come back, oh, well, they just got out here. And I'd be like, yeah, but the line's shutting down. Like, you really have to be there when it says,
right,
and not just when you happen to see a line forming, because you don't know how long it's going to stay open.
Right.
So that is a good tip. If something's a priority, it is helpful to know the schedule.
Right. Yeah, so it's not a lesson that we'll be able to take advantage of anytime soon, probably, but in case that's helpful for anybody there. Again, it wasn't the end of the world. Like I said, we did Enchanted Tales the next day, so it was fine. I just felt like we could have used our time better, or really stayed there and, staked her out if it was that important, which at the end of the day, it wasn't that important. I just wish we had kind of spent our time a little bit differently.
No, I think it's a good point. I'm glad that you had mentioned that.
Yeah.
Okay, so after 3 full park days and a couple left, how are you feeling at this point in your trip?
Yeah, I think, better than I thought. Like, I was really worried. I'm like, we haven't been training for Disney, but I think we really did okay. I mean, my kids, when my son did walk, he's 5, he's got short legs. So it's not like we were, sprinting anywhere or doing anything. We were definitely all tired, but we were doing better than maybe I thought we would. I think really only because we did make sure that we were in pretty early every night. I would have loved to have done the fireworks, but it was just such an easy call with them. Like, I could just tell by the end of the day they were kind of toast and just really needed downtime in the room or to swim or whatever. So we found some way to swim every day. We tried to make sure that, they'd get a bath after all that sunscreen to kind of get everything off them and get them in bed at an hour that allowed us to kind of get out the door early. So, I just didn't push it too hard in the evenings, because I could just tell, they just needed some time to just run, kind of cut loose.
And when they get older, you may be surprised at what they remember. They're not going to know that they miss fireworks. I bet they remember. I bet they're going to remember the swimming pool.
Sure.
Totally.
We bought these, goofy, toys early on, and like, they would just be so excited to get back and play with them. So, while part of you is like, that's not why we're here, at the same time, it's funny, like you said, the things that, they enjoy and talk about.
Yes. My parents are very disappointed at the things I remembered from my 3rd grade trip. And they took me back when I got older, because they were frustrated. But I'm like, that's what I remembered. The tram at the airport that takes you from your gate to the main building. That was one of my favorite parts of my whole Disney World trip. So guess what? I still like it, and I get to do it all the time. So,
funny.
You just never know.
Nice.
All right. So I think you headed back to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
And how did your 2nd Magic Kingdom day go?
Yeah, it went well. My son really, I felt bad about the way that the Peter Pan thing worked out with my daughter not wanting to go on it. And so I felt bad that my husband missed it, because I thought that was just such a neat ride. And my son really, really loved it. And he and my husband are very close. And so I said, Oliver, if you got to pick one thing that we had to do today that we already did, what would you pick? And that's what he picked, was doing Peter Pan with my husband. But Fast Pass time had already, kind of come and gone, and there was no way to get a Peter Pan Fast Pass. So they did that early on, while I went and did some princess meets with my daughter. After that, we met up and did It's a Small World. That was another one where my daughter wasn't super thrilled to get on it. And then once she did it, it was like the ride she still talks about, the doll ride, she called it. She just really, really loved it. And opted to go on it a 2nd time later that day while my son and I did Haunted Mansion. She wanted to go on It's a Small World. So my husband did 40 minutes of It's a Small World that day. So kudos to him.
Yes.
And I really like it too. It's just, it's a long ride to do twice. But we really felt like at that point we had just, met so many princesses. Some we met twice because we had met them at Cinderella's Royal Table and then again with another princess. So there was a whole lot of princess meeting going on. And I think maybe at that point, It's a Small World seemed like an okay option to do twice, because just waiting for those princesses and meeting so very many of them, it was nice to have a little variety, even if it was a second turn on Small World.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah, so we did that. We did do Enchanted Tales with Belle. My son is not, like, Mr. Performer, and they picked him to be Maurice. And I had originally said, like, you don't have to volunteer for anything, but I didn't really realize that they just picked him. But he did fine with it. It really wasn't a big deal. I mean, they pretty much do the work for the kids. So, you know, it wasn't a bad experience for him by any means. And we kind of volunteered my daughter to be a plate because she really did want to take a picture with Belle. And I thought that was just really cute the way that they did it. I really liked Enchanted Tales with Belle and just kind of seeing the way that they did it with the magic mirror and the talking wardrobe and Lumiere. I just thought it was really very cool. And definitely one of the things that I enjoyed most.
And Belle is in her yellow dress.
Yeah. It was just really neat.
Yeah, good. After your Epcot Belle time, it's nice that you got to have a good time with Belle.
Exactly. Yeah, we really liked that. Afterwards, we thought we would maybe get the kids on Dumbo, and they loved the play area, but both opted out of actually riding Dumbo, which I can't explain. It seemed too fast for them. It kind of made me laugh a little, but for whatever reason, they didn't want to actually ride Dumbo. I don't mind fast rides, but I don't love rides that go in a circle, so I didn't push that one too hard. I was trying to think what we did there. I had originally had a fast pass for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, but since my son had said no more roller coasters, I was able to get one for him and my husband on Buzz Lightyear, while my daughter and I went to meet Ariel. Even though we had already met her, I was just kind of at a loss for things that we would do with my daughter but not my son. So we went to meet her with her fin on at the grotto, and that was fun. And then we kind of met up later and ate at the Village House and just watched the Small World boats, which was kind of a fun thing since that was a ride she ended up enjoying so much.
Yeah, isn't that funny? So from Pinocchio Village House, just for anyone that is curious, there's windows in one of the rooms that overlook It's a Small World, so you can eat and watch people begin their It's a Small World ride. So that's cute.
Yeah, they like that. They like that a lot. After that, for some reason, like I knew that we were going to be in the park all day that day and that we weren't going to try a break because we did want to try to catch the parades. And so I didn't realize, like, I knew there were two parades, but I didn't realize, like, how very small the Move It, Shake It, whatever it's called, parade is. Because, like, I thought it was a parade you really needed to, like, be ready early for and all this stuff. So we maybe like spent a little bit too much time being ready for it. And then it was like, seemed like it was about 5 minutes or so. But it was fine. My kids liked being able to see, I think it was Genie that they were most excited about seeing, cause they watched Aladdin in the last month or so and thought it was pretty cool, but it was just such a blip that I'm like, oh, I probably didn't need to really plan around this parade.
Yeah. that one just kind of pops up. And so you get to watch it at the only parade at Disney World that you have to prepare for, and the only big parade is Festival of Fantasy. Parade.
Right. Yeah. I didn't realize how we could have probably just caught that, you know, walking by pretty easily. But it was, you know, that was fine. We were already kind of headed towards meeting Tinkerbell after, and then we went and got the cards play Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom, which was a really fun thing for us during, you know, a time of day when things started to seem a little bit busier. We really, really liked doing that. My son in particular enjoyed that. And around that time, my daughter kind of fell asleep in the stroller. So we really liked playing Sorcerers. And it was just kind of fun to have something that's interactive, but you don't really have to wait for. And then he thinks, you know, he kind of thought having those cards as a, you know, something to take home was really neat. So I would definitely recommend that for anyone, you know, whose kids are, you know, around that. I mean, probably around that age and older, I'm guessing. He's 5, and I'm guessing, you know, kids, you know, of several years older would like it too.
Yeah, especially.
He liked the map aspect too. Go ahead.
Yeah, especially ones that like scavenger hunts or that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really fun. I, you know, it kind of made me wish that we had tried a little harder to prioritize, you know, some of the other scavenger hunt type things. but we just kind of realized we couldn't do it all. And we have a friend who really likes sorcerers and had talked to us about it. And so we're glad that we at least did that one. So yeah, we did that. I don't think we fit in a ton of rides that day. We did also do, we caught the Festival of Fantasy Parade, which we really liked. And then we went back to, I'm trying to think, that might have been the other night that we did pizza at the resort and swimming after.
Good. That's a good full day.
Yes.
And I think you only had one park day left, right, at Hollywood Studios?
Yep. That was our last day.
Okay.
Which was a really fun day, very character heavy, and obviously very show heavy for, you know, having kids who did not, I don't think, now that I'm thinking, we didn't do a single ride there. We met Daisy quickly early on, and then even though my son is not a performer, he had really decided that he did want to do Jedi training. And in hindsight, I wish that we had, you know, prioritized kind of running over to Toy Story, but we didn't, and we didn't end up doing Toy Story Mania. We kind of kept an eye on it all day, and it was just never something that we ended up wanting to devote the time to. It seemed like the line was always about an hour. And we had shows and things like, and a dining reservation and things that we wanted to catch. So that's maybe one of the only other bummers, is that we didn't kind of find a really great way to work that into our plan. But that aside, the day was really fun. So, you know, we went and signed my son up for Jedi training. One other thing that I didn't realize, in case it's helpful, is I kind of thought that you needed to prioritize being at Jedi training on the early side. I'd heard from some people that you didn't necessarily have to be there right away, but you should, you know, as long as you, you know, didn't care too much what time you did, you know, you didn't have to rush over. But we did have a lot that I wanted to make sure we caught certain show times and a dining reservation. So we went over there and got him signed up. But later in the day when we had back, I mean, there were still plenty of slots left. So I think, you know, we were there on a low crowd day, so maybe that's not the case other times of year, but I definitely didn't need to kind of make the mad dash that I thought I did.
Yeah. I think it is safe to tell people to make the mad dash, because, sometimes those slots disappear very, very quickly. And especially if it's priority, you want to be there early to make sure you're on the list.
Got it. Yeah, I think we were just there on a day that really, even to us at any point, didn't seem very busy.
Yeah.
So that might maybe work to our advantage there.
And Hollywood Studios is an interesting time right now, because it will never not be busy again.
Moving forward.
Starting next month. Sure. So right now, it's probably the least busy it's going to get for years.
Got it. So yeah, we probably had a fluke then. I think when we were there, I was kind of like, oh, I wish we didn't rush over, but perhaps moving forward, it does make sense from what you're saying.
I think so. Cool. We won't know until Toy Story Land opens to how things are affected, but I'm going to assume that more people will be attending the park.
Got it. I'm guessing that you are right on that one.
Yeah.
So we went there, and then we went and met Olaf on Muppets 3D. We met Cruz Ramirez, which was like a super fast, since she's just kind of the statue that has stuff coming out of the speakers, but that was a big deal to my kids. We did the Frozen sing-along, which we liked, I think my daughter in particular, and I thought it was pretty funny. And then we went to the Sci-Fi Dine-In, which I would say was definitely a highlight for us.
Really? I think you said beforehand you were not sure how they would like that.
I wasn't. Yeah, I wasn't sure, but they ended up loving it. So I was really glad. I mean, I think I was a little bit nervous about the you know, what they played on the screen, but it was just so, what they play, those clips are just so ridiculous that they didn't even catch that they were supposed to be scary, like in the least at any point in history. So, my husband and I got a big kick out of what they were playing on the screen. And my kids just thought that the eating in the car thing was about the coolest thing ever. So, you know, I don't know that I would go back with like a group of friends, 'cause it's not really conducive to like talking, but you know, my son kind of faced backwards half the time while we were waiting, and they got like the souvenir cups with these clip-on light things, and they thought it was just about the coolest thing ever. And our meals were actually pretty good, so I really liked it. I thought it was really cool. I was, you know, pleasantly surprised. We kind of took a risk there, and it paid off really well. I would definitely, you know, I would definitely recommend that one if you have kids who like cars as much as mine, or just might think that that was neat.
And in that seating is why I have often sort of half jokingly, half seriously recommended it if you have teenagers. Because
you don't have to talk to anybody.
Well, because you need a break from the sass sometimes. And those cars give you a focus where you don't have to necessarily talk to each other if you don't want to.
Sure. No, I could totally see that. But you know, I think they thought it was the seating was really neat. So they liked that. Our meals were really good. We did some kind of sundae, like with a donut and apple pie filling. And everything we ate, I thought was pretty tasty. So I have only good things to say about our experience there. I kind of wish we'd maybe thrown one more table service in the mix after having a pretty good experience, particularly at Garden Grill and Sci-Fi with the food itself. I think, you know, had we done one more on one other day, that might have been a nice thing. But definitely had a good experience there.
Yeah. And you got to use mobile ordering at the quick service. So you took advantage of that when you were at quick service. So, okay. So it sounds like you had a good Hollywood Studios day, even without the rides.
Right. Yeah. We mostly did meetings after that. We did the Indiana Jones stunt show, a bunch of different meetings between Star Wars characters and some Disney Junior. And then we saw my son actually do the Jedi training. So that was pretty neat for him. It was definitely a bit of a time commitment because you have to get there early and then wait through it. But he ended up really liking it, and that was kind of neat for us since it was a little bit out of his comfort zone. I really liked the way they did that and thought it was a neat experience that you wouldn't get anywhere else.
Good. And you probably got lots of PhotoPass pictures from
tons. Yeah, that was really nice.
So let's talk about Memory Maker, since you mentioned that you were getting it for this trip.
And
you probably had lots of them from that and from Enchanted Tales with Belle and from all those characters you met.
Right.
So it sounds like you probably really maximized it.
I think so. I think we had like well over 400 pictures, close to 450 pictures or so.
Wow.
And I mean, I think we ended up meeting, like we counted in the little autograph book and added a few others. I think we met about 25 characters or so. So it definitely seemed like a good use of money for us, my kids. And we asked for a couple magic shots. And they really got a kick out of those. We weren't people who were like necessarily on the look for PhotoPass photographers, but if I saw one, I tried to, you know, and there wasn't a line, I'd try to stop, or even sometimes if there was and it wasn't too bad. With 450 pictures, I still think we probably only have about three in which we're all looking at the camera, but it was nice that we have so many with the characters. My kids are just funny ages for us to all be kind of looking in the same direction and smiling and our eyes are open. But I would definitely do it again because, you know, the vast majority of the pictures are pretty fun, even if we're not necessarily all smiling and looking in the right way.
At least you're all in the pictures.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And a lot of them are just the kids and the characters. We usually got in at the end, but, you know, getting two kids smiling, that's still a pretty good accomplishment. So I definitely liked that and thought it was a good move.
So, I had written down before your trip that you had planned on meeting some characters, but you end up meeting a lot of characters.
Yes.
So, who were a few of your favorites overall from the trip?
Yeah. I'm kind of looking at my list. I really liked Aladdin and Jasmine. I thought that was a really fun one to have them together.
At Epcot,
We actually met them at Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
On our first day. We had already met Jasmine at Cinderella's Royal Table. So I kind of clued her in like, oh, it's so nice to see you at breakfast. And they kind of picked it up from there. And Aladdin kind of made some quips about how he was looking for Abu and he had monkey troubles. And he was just a really like funny character. You know, he really played it up and did a nice job with that. I thought he was just really funny and in character and improvised really well. So we liked meeting them. Talking Mickey was definitely a highlight that I didn't mention, that I just loved. I thought it was really cool. I know that he's not going to be talking for much longer, but my kids thought that was a really neat one too. Earlier today, he was telling someone in our family, like, Mickey said he was hoping I'd be there today. Like, he remembered that. He remembered what Mickey said. Mm-hmm. We were behind a family in line who was from Brazil, I believe, if I remember correctly. And they were all crying when they met Mickey, and Mickey was talking in Spanish with them. And I'm a sympathetic crier, so I started to cry. But it was just really neat to see how he I don't know. I understand that it's probably not easily, you know, replicated across characters or anything like that, but it was a really neat experience just to hear Mickey talk directly to you. I wasn't sure, you know, how I would like it, knowing that the majority of those type of characters just don't talk and he's the only one, but it was really neat to see him talk, and I'm glad that we got to do it while it's still an option.
Yeah, that is a neat experience. And this, his whole meeting area is extra cute.
Yeah, it was.
You also mentioned that you like Joy and Sadness, and
yes,
they also have a cute meeting area, and they're cute characters.
Yeah.
So
yeah, absolutely. I really like them. Minnie was very sweet to my daughter because my daughter was wearing a mini dress and mini tennis shoes, and she, you know, she did a great job, and I'm not normally like super into Minnie, but I thought she was really fun in that moment. And I'm just trying to look through and see if there's anyone else. But I really like meeting Chewbacca. Chewbacca was great. My son had brought a Chewy teddy bear with him on the trip, and he showed it to Chewbacca, who just seemed so touched at it. And I thought that was a fun, you know, fun thing for my son to be able to experience. And then Doc McStuffins, I thought, was also very, very good. My daughter walked over to her with a toy in her hand, and she did like a checkup for the toy. Like she kind of listened to her heart and kind of, it was a Tinkerbell toy, and she made sure her wings were working. And I just thought that, like, I just thought it was such a cool thing. So, I mean, you know, waiting a line for the characters, you don't really know at first, like, what you're waiting for. Are you just waiting for a picture? Are you, you know, what's going to happen? But really, for the most part, you know, they all did a really nice job doing something that at least I found memorable, or saying something that, you know, my kids will remember, you know, at least for some time. They're little now, but, you know, I really appreciate the way that they interacted with them in a way that, you know, didn't make it seem rushed at all. It just seemed like they really cared about them in that moment. And, I think as a parent who, you know, ended up doing a lot of that, they made it a neat thing. You know, I kind of joke that we, you know, had to meet every princess and, you know, maybe we didn't need to do that, but for, you know, for all the time we spent waiting in line, they really did make it worth your while once you got up there.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you had a chance to do that, because they may have very different interests in the future.
Sure.
I assume they probably will. You mentioned in your pre-trip report that you were renting a double stroller. So can you talk about that process and how that worked out for you?
Yeah, it worked out really well. So I don't remember which company we went through, but it was really nice that they, you know, dropped it off at the front desk, and we picked up, you know, first day and dropped it off when we left. It was super easy and convenient to do it that way. And you know, my son was fine to walk some of the time. And he hasn't ridden a stroller since he was two. So I was surprised that he made use of it as much as he did. In hindsight, I shouldn't really be, just given how much walking we did. But it was really nice. I think, you know, it's a little bit tough to get it, you know, not get it on the bus, but it takes up a lot of space on the bus. But that's really the only downside I could think of that, and then you're parking it. One thing we didn't realize is that just because there are a lot of strollers someplace doesn't mean it's actually designated stroller parking. We learned that lesson really quickly, but on the first day, I think, you know, we put it somewhere and, you know, it wasn't where we thought it would be, once we found other stroller parking where we thought it would be. So we had to ask for help, and someone kind of finally helped us find it, but we lost, you know, probably 15 minutes or so looking for the stroller, because we parked it near other strollers, but it wasn't necessarily the parking area.
Yeah, they can be moved around, and you just never know when you come out what it's going to look like.
Exactly. And, you know, once we kind of realized it had to be dead, you had to have a sign nearby, we were fine the rest of the time. It really wasn't ever moved very far, so it was our fault the first time, and once we kind of learned what we needed to do there, it wasn't a problem again.
Yeah. And if anybody is planning on having a stroller, just bring something really brightly colored from home.
Yeah.
So you can, you know, whatever it is, a little piece of fabric, a ribbon, whatever, that'll save you several minutes just trying to track those down.
Right. We did put a ribbon around ours, and that always helped. I would say, have you seen this, the stroller with the snowman ribbon? And
yes.
At least helped when we had someone else looking with us.
Yeah, it's sort of like, you know, when you're getting your luggage off the baggage carousel at the airport, you need something to help yours stick out.
Definitely.
Okay, well, it sounds like you had a really good trip. Is there anything that you did that we have not talked about?
I mean, maybe a small ride here or there, but nothing overall. We definitely had a good time, you know, even though, It was a little bit more character heavy than I realized it would be, but I think it was totally okay. And it was neat to see how excited my kids got about it and how much they've been talking about it since. So no, I think it was really fun. We'd love to go back in a few years where, you know, I don't assume we'll go back right away, even though that would be kind of fun too. It just probably isn't in the cards for us. So I'll be excited to go, you know, maybe in a few years and kind of see how things will change for them at that point. But we had a really great trip overall. There's not a whole lot, you know, that we did that I wouldn't recommend. And, you know, I just thought they did a really awesome job.
Yeah, and when you go back, you'll have rides that your kids weren't interested in this time. Their new interests. There will be new lands that are open. So there'll be all kinds of new things to check out if you do get to go back.
Yeah, I think so.
Give you something to look forward to.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you for joining, Erin. I appreciate you taking the time to share in such detail.
Thanks. And thanks for having me, Shannon. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks again.
Cool. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that trip report from Erin. Before we wrap it up, I do want to share with you a quick tip of the day. And this one was emailed in by Amelia, very close to my dog's name, Amelie. I like those names. But this quick tip says, I just wanted to send over a potential quick tip for your podcast. While planning my trip, I came across the Build Your Disney Family website. It allows you to create a sticker decal with stick figures of each of your family members. You can download the decal to share online and also order a print by mail for free. I imagine it could be a fun part of preparation for families or a useful item for a countdown calendar. The site is buildyourdisneyfamily.com. And I don't know if this has been a quick tip in the past, but if it has, it's been a while. So it's helpful to bring it up again in case you haven't heard of it. I will include a link to that in the show notes. Thank you for that, Amelia. And with that, I think that will wrap up this episode. For more information on this show, please check the show notes in your podcasting app or go to the website. Click on podcast at the top and look for episode 174. Until next time, I will see you on the site.